Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Winter is no longer coming. It is, in fact, here. It's Andy's Girls, episode 590, whatever. And listen, I've had a little bit of a week. I've had some, it's a day of the week. So, of course, I've had some health challenges. And it's just kind of like new stuff that's super fun and terrible and deeply uncomfortable. So as a result, my plan to watch the, I'd been sent the screener for the first, I get the screeners for premiere episodes of Bravo shows. So my plan was to watch the screener before the episode aired and recap it and get that up. And of course, Mother Nature, Mother Body had other plans. So I instead watched, did I even watch it Wednesday night? I honestly don't remember. Yeah, I think I did. I watched it later Wednesday night after it had aired. And I was fully on the couch and like couldn't understand what was happening because I was so out of it and haven't been sleeping that I was like, I can't record a goddamn episode. It's not going to make any sense, as opposed to every other episode, which maybe makes sense, you know, 36% of the time, which is a pretty good number. So I figured, OK, well, let's see what happens on Thursday. Then Thursday rolls around and I'm like, oh, still feel terrible, and was able to spackle myself together to cameo at a Bravo event in celebration of the upcoming second but also 15th season, or is it second? Yeah, second but also 15th season of Real Housewives of New York, which was so much fun, but also was like barely standing up, pure adrenaline to get it together, but was able to record an episode of about talking about all things Salt Lake with a guest, which you guys will hear, I believe, on Sunday-ish. And then Orange County aired, which I have not seen yet, but I heard about it. I heard about one, I mean, I assume it's a one-off moment from Her Majesty Heather Dubrow that had me in an absolute rage spiral. So I need to see the context of the full episode before I drag her to hell. But that episode 100% is forthcoming, because I realized, I was talking about this with BBDB, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo, and realized I really can't watch Orange County until I deep dive Salt Lake, because Orange County's having such a powerhouse season that I didn't want to distract from the glory that is Salt Lake City. So I have watched now the premiere episode, I think, 4 times, which feels completely insane, because I watched it, but I was not aware of my surroundings. And I watched it a second time. Then I watched it again before the guests came over to record our very, very fun deep dive. And then just watched it one last time for this. What promises genuinely, I know I say this a lot and then it's like 16 hours long, but this will be a little bit of a bonus episode, because I am, aside from getting a CAT scan this afternoon, I'm fully like on the couch. So suffice it to say, Salt Lake City premiered, and was it not a blast? Was it not a blast? And I get into this on an upcoming AG. I think I talk about it a little bit, but the thing that I love so much about what I think this season of Salt Lake City will be like, and certainly what the premiere is like, is I don't need to care about any of these people to like the show. There are franchises I like where I'm deeply emotionally invested, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. If there's someone that I find super triggering, where I'm just like really frustrated, for me, that was watching New Jersey and like the Louis of it all and some of the other stuff surrounding Louis, where I was just kind of taken out because I just was like losing my marbles when I was talking about the show. And then obviously there's Orange County, as everyone knows, I hashtag stand for Shan, where I do feel really connected, but also of course sort of infuriated by what Alexis and John have been up to over the course of this season, and also seemingly in the press, continuing Alexis's like weird victim complex in real time. But then I'm watching Salt Lake City and I just thought to myself, like, nobody needs a side. I don't need to be like team Angie K, LOL, versus team Meredith Marks, who's, I guess, the forthcoming creator of what I assume will be a trademarked line of butter bath bombs, which, can we take a moment to talk about that? Her upset about Whitney, because she said she announced an upcoming line in quote unquote New York, also known as the reunion, of butter bath. I think just the clip throwback did not help her when that moment was included later in the episode, because I was so distracted by the idea of a butter bath bomb. And maybe she was just having that as a moment and like as a little bit of an LOL, or was it something she genuinely was thinking about? I really couldn't tell you, but I just sort of couldn't get over that moment. But honestly, like Lisa Barlow screaming at Whitney, joined by Meredith and Heather Gay and everyone losing their shit, and Mary Cosby somehow ducking her head in when she hears that someone called her a predator and her like ears went up. Just literally all of it was genuinely beautiful music. It was true. This was my ragtime spectacular. Like, just truly beautiful music, because we have been given a gift from Salt Lake City, which I think several seasons in, I truly recognize and hold very dear, because guess what? Jen Shaw is no longer here. And the ghost of Jen Shaw is no longer here. While the cast is like bickering with each other on Twitter at this point, Lisa and Meredith versus Angie K, seemingly about who was the better or worse friend to Jen Shaw as a way to be like, you're full of shit, which, I mean, listen, as I am someone who quite literally currently is, I understand. It's like my cousin. Speaking of cousins, there is something so powerful, because there was that terrible season of Salt Lake City, obviously, when Jen was sponsoring herself with the Innocence Project and proclaiming her innocence. And for whatever wild, inauthentic reason, Heather Gay and Meredith Marks were following suit. There's something so wonderful about that energy not being there anymore, because it was draining the life force out of so many of us watching at home. Because I don't really want to litigate the number of victims who were greatly harmed by Jen Shaw's federal crime. And I don't really feel like watching people continue to defend her for reasons that feel deeply disingenuous. And is there maybe a thread of disingenuous in the ways that people are like having big moments, maybe through the course of the season and the premiere? Yeah, you could argue that, but you know what? I don't give a shit. I thought it was so funny and entertaining. And there's something deeply ironic, is how I'm gonna reference it, about Angie K, who to me, Angie K to me gives like incredible Marlo energy of like, this is someone who in a parallel universe, alternate field, could have been a friend of for 10 seasons and would have done a spectacular job. But for whatever reason, she was promoted to full time. And I will be thankful for that for the rest of my life. Like, we really truly did a little bit of a fast forward on Angie K. So to go from, I mean, her name is Angie K. She wasn't even the only Angie there in the cast. To go from Angie K being another Angie to someone who is a full-time cast member holding the center snowflake for this season. I mean, unless they kind of mix it up like a House of Cards, also known as Bronwyn's Six Dogs, if she is truly center snowflake for the rest of the season, I don't know what to say about that, except we truly are hashtag blessed. And in the words of Whitney Rose Beauty, this season is our healing journey. Even though you could argue that last season was as well, this season to me is so great because I genuinely think the scent of Jennifer Shaw is gone. And spoiler alert, terrible news for Monica, but there was not a moment where I felt her absence was felt or lingered. People are going to reference her. People are going to continue to reference Reality Von Teese, but I didn't watch that premiere episode, and I don't know a single person who did. And more power to you if you feel this way, by the way, but I don't know anyone who watched the premiere episode and was like, damn, I really miss Monica's energy. What we're watching right now is women at the top of their game participating in a high drama, high camp, trigger warning, almost costumey, but still so fucking energetic and somehow still, I don't know that I want to use the word real, but certainly connective experience of Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City has developed such a unique, specific voice and energy that I feel like production, the network, whomever, decided, you know what, editors, you do your thing. Go as crazy as you want to go with flashback, with edits, with graininess in moments of clips where you're not concerned the audience won't understand what's going on because you have our full attention. They have had our 1000% attention waiting for this moment for the new season to begin since last season's finale. Like skipping over a little bit of the reunion, which for me was a bit of a flop at points because I think Monica really, really flamed out. She just did not have a good showing. She either made bad decisions or was counseled terribly, or probably likely, seemingly a combination of the two. And so watching the premiere episode, I genuinely, now that I've seen it 1800 times, I was enjoying it just as much the fourth time as I was when I was in like a neuro brain fog the first. There's something about this energy that's just so fun and chaotic and frenetic. And I don't care about any of the arguments. I really don't. And also, by the way, guys, if my voice sounds a little weird, I've been coughing. So I apologize if it's like a little deep and sultry right now, but continuing on, there's just something so wonderful about watching this show and thinking nobody's being hurt as a result of this. We're not pretending that some of these people are better than they are. And P.S., the glaring omission in me saying that is all things Mary Cosby. How ironic, considering the fact that I've talked about my discomfort with Mary being back because of the fact that everything happening with her church and the way seemingly parishioners were intimidated and encouraged to tithe over their mortgages and stuff. The fact that that is, I don't think, ever really going to come back to light. I don't know that the cast is willing to make that sacrifice and kind of deal with the consequences of filming alongside Mary's reaction. I don't know that the network wants that to happen. I think the network is like, let's tap out of some of this like very, very kind of unethical behind the scenes of the cost of how some of these women are able to afford dressing in their not costumes, but couture. So how ironic that I genuinely do feel this sense of like freedom in watching these episodes, noting that Mary is back in the cast. And I have to tell you, her confessionals were incredible. So I don't know what there is to say about her as a person that hasn't already been said on AG, but holy shit, if we're gonna deal with her, which is the feeling that I have and some other people do, of her being back on the show in a full-time capacity, noting that I don't think that Mary is going to face the kind of pressure that other cast members have. A person could argue she has in previous seasons and they're just not going to do it again. But this is not a cast that's like, we're moving on. We're never going to mention anything else. I mean, it was mentioned as a one-off by Whitney Rose Beauty at the Bezos table. So hugs and Bezos, by the way. So it's possible it might come up again, but I don't know that there's anyone in the cast who wants to deal with fucking with Mary. And I don't know that production or the network want that to happen either. I genuinely don't. I think the cast probably feels like there are bigger fish to fry here when it comes to, I don't know, just some weird fucking moments of strife. But holy shit, in the time that we have her, noting she really does not have even a little bit of a sense of humor and at points ability to process or express empathy, like she really doesn't get it. But also those confessionals, the one-offs, all of it are so entertaining. And I don't know how to process this because I'm like, do I feel uncomfortable with the fact that she's back on the show? I personally do. But also, while she's here, is she going to entertain the absolute fuck out of me? 100%. I just don't know how to. I'm just containing some multitudes when it comes to the little bit of the asterisk there on we want cast members, you know, who are maybe not mired in a lot of questions relating to how you know, how her Clawfuss has come to pass. But I think that's a question that will probably linger or be one that people, for the purposes of watching the show, are just saying this is something that may exist. We don't necessarily have more any recent new information. And also what she's giving us right now on screen, it's not discounting any conversation or questions, but also saying, holy shit, have they found someone who gets a gold medal in just blunt force? Because her confessional reactions were chef's kiss. And so, by the way, was our favorite new cast member, someone who is bringing respect back to the name of a housewife, introducing herself as Bronwyn. Different spelling, hopefully different personality, certainly different personality. I thought to myself, how can there be more than one Lisa Barlow that exists? And then we were introduced to Bronwyn. But she's not Lisa Barlow. She does to me, she's actually, oddly enough, she's kind of more grounded than I might have initially given her credit for. And it's easy not to see that groundedness or connectiveness or honestly just a sense of being reasonable. It's possible to skip over that entirely because of the fuzzy heart, the animal print puffer that God only knows how much that outfit cost in 37 degree cold, her sitting down and saying, I'll have a lemon San Diego. Let me tell you what, I immediately Googled that. I don't remember the name of the restaurant, so I guess I would have to look it up on theirs. I wasn't sure if it was like a Manhattan or something that people knew the name of, but there's just something cinematic about a woman in dead winter, frigid chill, showing up in boy shorts, sort of like a bikini bra top, a puffer jacket, matching boots, I want to say, great glam, and saying, I'll have a lemon San Diego. Like, of course you will. Of course you will have a lemon San Diego. I've never heard of that, not once in my life. I assume it's restaurant specific because Google gave me absolutely nothing. But Bronwyn is giving me truly everything. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And like many people, the conversation about saving and investing can feel really complicated. And for me personally, often feels like it's out of reach. Like I'm joining a conversation in the middle of it. I'm not quite sure really how to start, which is why I am so thankful for Acorns. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. BCC, PK, and Dorit. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. That's perfect for me and my life. I want to make positive change, but so often it's hard to figure out where to begin. Acorns does that work. I always felt like in order to start investing, I needed to have one big lump sum, but Acorns takes away that kind of stress. It's small, important changes that you can make in your life for your future. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. And I really appreciate that. And I was getting a little name 'em energy used differently with the conversation with Angie K at the Bezos dinner, when she just kept saying, like, can we just draw a line? Like, you're referencing things that have happened before. Nobody understands why. Can you just draw a line and move forward? And Angie K was like, I will do that right after the next thing I say that's continuing upset that I have toward Meredith, even though I think it's really about Monica, but because Monica is no longer here, we have Meredith left to spar. And I'm not mad at it. Like, it was not Angie K. Angie K showing up with that dumb fucking scroll. Handwritten, by the way. And I couldn't figure out what was pixelated out. Like, how do you present a scroll and decide that something that seemingly was discussed on the show, which is what she's upset about, she's upset about things that were said about her on the show, how some of that was able to be pixelated, I don't understand. But she brought the scroll to a Salt Lake City premiere party, so it's now possible to read all of it, except I can't totally read her handwriting, and maybe it's just kind of a smaller picture. So I'm going to attempt to read what she shared, which is the scroll in full. And I mean, her handwriting was terrible, as is mine, by the way, another thing that I adore about Angie K. So the first thing on the scroll: encouraging someone to sue me and take my home just in time for the holidays, Christmas at the soup kitchen. She's not really upset, right? Like, just between us, she's not actually upset about this stuff, is she? Like, all of this is a joke. This is all she said. I'm sorry, but I need you to say sorry to me. There was no There was no point or pause on having a genuine conversation because she went straight into performance mode. So the fact that she's injecting humor into this, written by, I'm sure, an intern on her staff, the fact that she's in somebody left over, I guess, from the Shaw Squad posting on LinkedIn, the fact that she has like humors, it's because, you know, spoiler alert, I think she was aware this was being filmed for television. So she wanted to have like moment. But do I actually think Angie is mad at Meredith? I don't think so. I think a person can sort of fake mad and then become mad, a la Alexis Bellino and John Jansen falling in love. Like, it can start off as sort of a nothing burger and then quickly snowball into something else. It's entirely possible. Sort of like a child crying just for kicks and then really crying because they're upset because they're crying. I kind of have that Angie K. I see a little bit of a connection there in this scroll moment. Okay, continuing down, suggesting I'm involved in organized crime. Then the next thing is what was pixelated out. My 25-year-old business is a money laundering scheme. And then she continues, which, by the way, my business partners would like an apology for that one too. And then threatening rumors, and then perpetuating narratives on social media, Twitter, followed by my husband - apology! Exclamation point. God bless her. An angel among us. I can't wait for the sunglasses content that's coming my way. And as someone who cherishes my sunglasses, my Bambino, my discontinued Tom Ford, not Tom Ford's, my discontinued, apologies, discontinued Celine's. In the words of Sutton Strack, former date, we didn't necessarily hear of again, not named because they are, the company is owned by Celine Dion, but just in fact, a different Celine. So what can I tell you? The Angie K of it all, the fact that she is in the center, in the middle of this drama, she's fighting with Lisa and Meredith on social because Meredith posted an old link of this horrifying sort of music video that Angie K did when she was essentially the pickles for Jen Shah. And Meredith Marks posted that and said, "The only scroll I read is the Torah." # RHOSLC. So that's absolutely going to be an upcoming tagline on AG, because the scream, I actually initially didn't see, because I'm not on Twitter, also known as, I guess, X. X does not mark the spot for me because I didn't see it until it was shared on Instagram. So I actually didn't initially notice the video because I think it, I saw it as a screenshot. I didn't notice that there was like a genuine, legit video of Angie K having fun, I guess, with Jen Shah and a trio of dancers who most assuredly were not paid. So Meredith Marks posts that. She doesn't, I don't think, tag Angie, but obviously hashtagged RHOSLC. All of these people, all of their, you know, social media managers are, it might just be one person fighting with themselves. It's like the person doing social media for, you know, Coke and I guess also Pepsi at once and just switching from one account to the other. God forbid, trigger warning if you're Lisa Barlow and I'm equating the two. So Angie responds and says, so Meredith Marks posts, "The only scroll I read is the Torah," # RHOSLC, connects to that video. And Angie K responds and says, "True, I was real friends with Jen until I learned she'd scammed the elderly out of money. Unlike you, who followed her all the way to prison for airtime. Mazel tov to baby gorgeous. Glad to see your spirits are up considering all of your recent legal and repo troubles," which was Meredith Marks involved in repo Michigas? I don't entirely know. Lisa Barlow responded and then said, "Remember how you charged Jen for a party you offered to throw? I'm surprised you could get all of this out there without tripping over all of that lip filler. Pay your employees that $9 an hour. Pay your employees because that $9 an hour isn't cutting it." To which Angie K responded, "My lips are full as my life. Thanks to my doctor who I pay with my own Amex card, not a Park City mystery man's. Unlike Lisa's G-Wagon, my lips can't get repoed. I'm not your bestie in prison, so I'm not interested in a gangbang." Oh, Angie K. "But it's cute you two had to team up. night, hashtag RHOSLC. Listen, I don't totally understand what's happening. Also, the fact that Angie K has a little bit less than 6,800 followers on Instagram, which is about as many characters as existed in that tweet I just read, is sort of iconic. But I can't get enough. What can I tell you? I can't get enough. It's just so ridiculous. And I think we need a franchise that's just purely ridiculous. I am really here for it. And we've discussed real things on Salt Lake City, and I'm sure real things will be a part of this season, but I don't think it was part of the reunion. And I fucking loved that energy. Like, things are tough. Orange County is very hot. I'm extraordinarily behind on Dubai, so couldn't tell you what they're discussing over there. We barely survived New Jersey. We have New York on the horizon, which maybe we'll care about, maybe we won't. Beverly Hills is coming to us at some point in time, as is Atlanta. Potomac premieres in early October. Give us the nonsense on Salt Lake and we're going to gobble it the fuck up. And I don't know if you're a housewife and any other franchise at home watching, because the environment on Beverly Hills is very, very different from the environment on New York, which is extraordinarily different from the environment on New Jersey, may its memory possibly be a blessing, which is very different from the energy on Atlanta, which is very different from the energy on Miami. So I would think when it comes to a franchise that genuinely has done a really great job of mixing real, true, high stakes drama with LOLs, I would give that to Miami. And I don't know if I was a housewife at home watching or seeing the reactions to Salt Lake City, what that would do to me, because you can't replicate Salt Lake. Salt Lake can and should only exist in Salt Lake. I know that Lisa Barlow could go to a number of different franchises, but I don't want her there. I need her to stay centralized in Salt Lake City, screaming at people, calling them a liar for having, I guess, a different opinion of her character. I don't entirely understand what's happening with the Whitney of it all. I have to tell you, I'm kind of confused by it. Is Whitney being disingenuous at points? Absolutely. By asking, I mean, she was smart to do this, but by sort of demanding, cajoling, requesting that Lisa Barlow tell her what she actually said on the podcast is sort of similar to, I think, questions we could ask Tamra Judge while she attempts to castigate Radio Andy hosts incorrectly and inappropriately for saying things that quite literally were not said by said Radio Andy host, which she's still talking about, by the way. Tamara's entirely wrong. But it's this idea of, I can't name details because I haven't actually listened. That's obviously what's happening here with Lisa Barlow. She didn't listen to a single second of that episode of Vile Files. And first off, hashtag taste, like, you do you, boo. But it is a little different and a little difficult to be at, to express extreme upset, be asked, okay, what are the examples so that I can apologize? Even though I'm sure Whitney remembers, but she knows that Lisa probably didn't listen. She saw some headline, Page Six, Us, People clip of Whitney saying that she's the devil. No, she's the villain, which is funny to me. I don't know that I would ever describe Lisa Barlow as a villain. I mean, she's in my top five. I die for her. I think you could make the argument that she's potentially, spoiler alert, like maybe slight, a little, you know, absorbed, self-absorbed. But that's what I love about her. I love that Lisa Barlow exists in Lisa Barlow's universe. And I'm just grateful to be a voyeur watching her take part in it. Really, truly, I'm hashtag blessed. So for Whitney to be like, oh, just tell me what I said and then I'll apologize, is absolutely her being a smartass, but funny. And it didn't help but piss Lisa Barlow off more. And also, this is the thing that I don't understand about Housewives. If you come in to filming the first episode and you have a specific example of a way to express your grievances, why don't you have just a little index card from a Pickles, from whomever, from Baby Gorgeous, from, I guess, Page Six. Why didn't you just print that thing fucking up? I'm not asking for people to introduce printouts, by the way, because we saw how well that Monica's Mean Girls binder went. It was not well, bitch. Like, that did not go great. But how do you not have an example to say, to start the conversation? I mean, she did have headlines, but she kind of forgot them at the Bezos dinner table, which is the way I think of it, the way I feel about the feeling and love and kisses that I feel about that event. It's just Bezos. It's just Bezos. There's something incredible about the fact that Lisa didn't have a specific example, and also the fact that Whitney surely did, but wasn't going to do Lisa's work on her behalf. Like, Whitney's like, I don't feel like I need to help you yell at me. So instead, I'm just going to provoke you as much as possible. But also, Whitney was right that this was just an opportunity for Heather Gay to mention the book stuff again, and Meredith to mention whatever the fuck she did again about these bath bombs, which, if I do think if there was someone who's close to owning a bath on that show, absolutely it's Meredith Marks. But how is Whitney, aside from the fact that she, you know, started off in bath bombs, how is it that Whitney was able to put that shit together before Meredith was? There's something about Meredith Marks. I don't know if it's because she worked in like high-end luxury jewelry where it's not necessarily about getting stuff out lickety-split, unless you have a client that like needs an 18-carat marquee diamond, God forbid, in 30 minutes, in which case my guess is people will make that happen. But those are individual examples. I don't think Meredith Marks is necessarily used to like niche, I mean, quote unquote, mass market, but not really mass market orders of like, this thing went viral, and so let me have stuff ready so that when the episode airs, if I have a feeling it's going to go viral, or if I've gone viral in seasons past because of all things bath, that I would have that stuff ready to go. So like, are we upset that Whitney stole the bathing industry from you, or are we upset that Whitney got that shit ready before you did? Because I mean, I don't know that Meredith has bath bombs available now. I hope she does. Can you fucking imagine? I mean, listen, Hanukkah's coming. I'll buy 8. Like, put that in a stocking stuffer. Have it next to the menorah. Like, do whatever you need to do. It would be such a good stocking stuffer. Put it in like a jewel-shaped box or something. Have like a Brooks Marks logo. Do some sort of like BOGO. Have a coupon code, like promo code Whitney didn't do it first for 5% off. Like, do whatever, free shipping maybe, do hand delivery, because we don't know really where Seth is living right now, so maybe if you are in the Ohio area he can just messenger it over. There's so many possibilities. I don't know how much of Meredith's upset is really about Whitney versus Whitney's ability to honestly like get this stuff up and running. And I am curious, is it possible, if we're playing a game of numbers, like if we have several people in the cast saying that Whitney is the devil, are we just supposed to go along with the majority vote? Because I don't feel that way about her. Like, I don't know that I necessarily think she's being self-righteous with her healing journey, but that's also because when she says healing journey, it makes me laugh, so I forget. I don't know. If honestly, if we have Lisa, Heather, and Meredith saying that she's being an asshole, being morally superior, should we take their word for it? Like, or maybe that's something that people see. I don't know that I recognize being morally superior. I think I recognize Whitney sometimes being a little, not like dumb, but just kind of like a little slow on the uptake, I think, a little bit. Like, there's something about her that I don't know. Is it the accent? Is the accent what it is that's really kind of almost confusing me when it comes to all things Whitney Rose? Is she just too wild a rose for some people in the cast? Would they prefer a daffodil? Honestly, she gives me kind of more Daffodil Daisy energy than she does a rose. I'm not really seeing those thorns, I gotta tell you, even if you call her a prick. I'm not quite sure. I think there's something about Whitney that often does feel like it's on a little bit of a 0.5 delay. But then there are other moments where I'm listening to her and I think she sounds really reasonable and people just get confused because maybe of the tenor of their voice, they're not taking her seriously, which is a whole other conversation about the patriarchy and the ways that women's voices are often weaponized and silenced by making fun or minimizing the fact that they, God forbid, might sound feminine. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but I think everybody is probably a little bit right and a little bit wrong. And there was something kind of wonderful about Lisa talking about Whitney's journey to quote unquote keep healing. And then Whitney coming through with that very, very strong sort of middle finger moment and saying, fuck you, Lisa Barlow. Like, that's how we end an episode, folks. That is how we have a strong start to a season. When you are flipping the bird at the Bezos table, mind you, to Lisa Barlow, the host of the event of the first major party being filmed, not the first thing being filmed because of all those delightful flashbacks from like an hour before or a week ago that were threaded into the premiere episode. But that was intoxicating. Like, it really genuinely was, even though I still have questions about what they were fighting about.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls.
You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls.
One of my questions, calling Whitney a liar for sharing opinions about Lisa. I don't know if I'm just kind of focused on the word choice, but the choice of words is important. I mean, she's saying that Whitney is lying about her character, but I think you can say a person might be inaccurate, I guess, or you disagree with them. I don't know that it's a lie. Although now that I'm saying that out loud, if she is calling her a villain, I mean, do I think that Lisa Barlow is a villain? Absolutely not. So I sort of now, I guess, a little bit understand her calling her liar, but also kind of don't. There is a little bit of that Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi energy of like, if God forbid Whitney Rose, and again, trigger warning, said that she preferred Pepsi over Coke, and does that even exist? Would that make her a liar because her opinion is different? I would just say she has bad taste. So maybe that's how I would go. I was a little focused on the liar. And then the way that Heather was using and connecting that to the whole book, Mishigas, which, can we really go back to? Do we have to go back to that? No, I think we're going to move forward. But probably the theme of the season is one step forward, 3 steps back. But we are all moving forward in delight over the entertainment that we're watching on TV. So that's nice. And also, speaking of Heather Gay, we have to talk about the beginning, the opener of the episode, which was really giving me true crime, Netflix, like behind the scenes, maybe serial killer energy or white collar crime, but something devastating. And maybe this is where I shout out Jen Shah, but it felt like the energy was leaning into true crime and also shitting on the fourth wall, stomping that shit to the fucking floor. Cause I thought the first kind of, you know, they each had their little line of like, this is what life is like, but actually it's not.
And there was a purposeful movement in the cinematography and filmmaking choices that I thought were intended to be specifically artificial, which to me was a really interesting way to go. It was giving me like series finale of The Hills energy, where all of a sudden the backdrop happens and we're being led to believe that the entire series was at worst scripted, at best fake. And so there was something about that energy starting off the series premiere of Salt Lake that I think was such a curious decision, super smart, fucking loved it. But also, I would think, a person could argue that if you start the franchise for any other city, starting a season by being like, this isn't real, or maybe they're not saying that it's not real, they're just saying that this is a produced reality TV show. God forbid we burst a little bit of the bubble by being like, there are cameras here. That's how you're watching. This kind of like cinema verite style. There was something about it that, again, is so unique to Salt Lake and to the twists and turns of the Salt Lake City journey that really could only belong on Salt Lake. Now, we've had that on other franchises, like a little bit of the Kyle, I wouldn't be surprised if we never saw Denise Richards again energy. That to me is somewhat symbolic, but also not. Like, there's something about Salt Lake City where with Kyle, that's a one-off moment that becomes like a viral gif, potato, potato, let's call the whole thing off, versus Salt Lake City where it's like, no, we're building the arc of this season around this moment. And I also thought to myself, echoing the shock, surprise, and honestly delight that Angie Kay has sent her Snowflake, which is unbelievable. It's quite literally unbelievable that is in fact fact. But there's something about Heather Gay where I think the network and certainly production consider her the star of the show. And I just don't think she is anymore. I don't think she's crucial to the show. And I think she's still continuing the kind of like voice of the audience, Greek chorus energy, but she has made some like major strategic, poor strategic decisions in ways off on camera and off that have, I think, hurt her, the affection that many people in the audience feel for her or have felt for her in the past, myself certainly included. And now we're at a point where, I mean, there was something that sort of tickled me a little bit at Heather trying to perform dramatic amazement as to the Bezos dinner party fight when it looked pretty clearly like she wanted to laugh. And there's something sort of ironic about that, her not wanting to laugh and break the moment versus the very beginning of the episode, which was entirely focused on breaking the moment. And P.S., you can laugh. Luanda Lesseps laughed when Aviva put her leg on the table, and that became a hallmark moment because of that laughter and the just kind of like shock and surprise of people in the cast just being like, am I supposed to pretend this is a dramatic moment when it feels somewhat ridiculous? I think Heather in that moment was probably trying to straddle a bunch of different worlds and didn't want to pop the balloon while Angie Kay is yelling for whatever reason. And I get it, but I also think like Heather is probably at the point now where she's best used sparingly, because I think we have a better understanding of her than maybe we did before. She was someone to me who like entered the Bravo universe and I immediately fell in love. I was like, this is someone I 100% identify with. I love also that she's a Bravoholic. I love that she's a part of this universe. She respects it. She adores it. It made me adore her more. Her talking about her just kind of journey with her body, her journey with herself, her journey with her sexuality, her journey with being an individual, her journey being a divorcee, her journey being someone no longer a part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, but still trying to find her path, being sort of spiritually excommunicated from her circle of friends and trying to find her own new community, and certainly in real time finding a sense of community, obviously a literal fandom through many Bravoholics. But I feel like there have been twists and turns. She has been a victim of the second or third season curse. And now we're at a point where I'm like, holy shit, the beginning of the episode is focused really truly on her. She's getting the last moment of the first with the camera focused on her. And P.S., with her like not no smile during the beginning of the episode, which that to me achieved cinematic greatness, because I was like, this is really, really fascinating to watch. But the fact that she's all the way, you know, upstage left holding a goddamn snowflake, she's further away from the middle than I think she ever has been. She's usually, to me, I think, set in the center of the cast. And this is one of those things that we make such a big fucking deal out of, similar to, God forbid, you have to sit in the second chair at Watch What Happens, like absolute anarchy riots. So maybe that doesn't mean anything, but I think it's appealing. I think Heather Gay actually works better when she's a true member of the ensemble and not when the show is working itself around her. I think it's better for her, honestly, maybe less pressure, and it's certainly better for the audience. And also, you have these insanely colorful characters. Like, Lisa Barlow takes up so much oxygen in the room, and I love that. Like, I love that she is so colorful, so energetic, so purely Lisa Barlow, that I love it. You don't need to try to match that. And I like that production isn't trying to match that with Heather Gay, because I just think it wouldn't work. And we've been through a lot with her. There's just been a lot that's fucking happened. My God, do you remember when I started this episode and I was like, it's going to be a mini? And I really genuinely, I'm not joking when I say that. I really genuinely was like, it's going to be 7 minutes long. I'm just going to say I love the episode and then be done. But there is another episode of AG upcoming with Friend of the Pod, Drunk Drawn, where we get into more of the nitty gritty from the premiere episode. But I really felt like I wanted to lay the foundation, just kind of expressing some many long form thoughts about SLC, because I think it deserves it. And also because I haven't seen the Orange County episode, I am fairly confident I'm going to be losing my fucking mind and also possibly bowels talking about whatever is going to happen on this episode between Emily and Heather. And also, I guess, some other stuff that probably also takes place, that I wanted to give Salt Lake its respect. And thank you again for your patience with this episode. Sometimes life happens, and for all of my plans, bodies and GI tracks and colons also take other routes. And trust me, the irony was felt in watching this episode when Mary Cosby is taking to the screen to talk about her colon health. And I'm laying on the people's couch, praying to the dear Lord above, Hanukkah Harry, also known as Manolo Blahnik, that please God, someone will fix whatever is fucked up inside my tum. So I was, and I'm a vegetarian of 150 years. So it's not a red meat issue for me, but I did really appreciate her saying that, because I was like, Mary Cosby, this might be the only time I've ever looked at you and said this, but like, we truly see each other. So thank you so much for bringing that up, even though it was probably a little bit more than my tummy could take. So listen, let me know your thoughts and feels, questions, and concerns. Send me your Salt Lake City premiere episode Satchels of Gold. You can DM them to me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Slide into my DMs. And of course, send me a long form satchel. You know, I love a thesis. You know, I love a 15 volume book at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And I look forward to reading them on an upcoming Patreon episode. It's the home of my beloved Satchel Spectacular bonus episodes. And it's also the number one way to support the pod. You get those exclusive bonus episodes and more. So sign up or level up now at patreon.com/AndysGirls. And again, just want to shout out this installation, which I was able to see last night, which Bravo is producing, called The Roney Orchard here in New York City. There's a bunch of like video and photos on my social. I went to it last night with a bunch of content creators and writer girls and media girlies, and we all just had a fucking blast. So if you're in the New York City area, it's open now. I don't know for how long, but it's certainly there in the lead up to the upcoming Roni premiere. And I do just have to say, so I was running late because I was really trying to like get my body together and then Uber pool the fuck down there with multiple passengers. Thank you so much. Or at least multiple stops. And so I got in after the step and repeat, like the press line had wrapped.
But I did, while I missed Uba, I did get a chance to see kind of Jessel and Bryn kikiing and having fun and put that up on social. But I did have a chance to talk to one of the cast members. And who was that cast member, you would ask? Rebecca Minkoff, which to me, considering the conversations that have occurred on AG recently about how interactions and press stuff will happen, I felt the irony from within, though. She was, of course, very, very sweet, very, very lovely, couldn't have been more generous and kinder, and was joking about the fact that she's not going to be reading any of the comments. And I was making jokes in my head that I certainly didn't say out loud. And so that was a fun little moment, just considering recent conversation on the pod. I was like, yes, of course, this is karma coming my way, I think. But also, she was wonderful. She was really, really very sweet, looked great, had her little Rebecca Minkoff bag. And it was really fun. So if you're in the New York area, couldn't highly recommend swinging by the Roney Orchard. And honestly, God, it's wild that New York is upon us. At the same time, we have Salt Lake City happening and Potomac about to premiere. Like, there is a lot that is happening, and I'm really excited about it. And also, this, I think, is probably a mental note. And also, this is the whole thing with me wrapping an episode and then talking for 18 more minutes. But the whole thing, I guess I just need to really focus on getting through Dubai because I haven't had a chance, but I have to do it. This is an oral friendship contract with AGs that I will catch up on Dubai because I need to deep dive it on an upcoming episodes. I don't know how it's going to work because I really have to get through the whole season. I've only seen the premiere episode, but I've heard from Bravoholics who are like, the reunion is strong or at least interesting, and I want to get into it. And I think now is the time, because when New York is really, really starting and Potomac is airing, it's just going to be completely fucking nuts. And you know, my energy is really, really taken with standing for Shan 24/7. So I need to make it a 25/8. So let me know your thoughts and feels. If you have a Dubai satchel, send it my way, because I would love to potentially read it on an upcoming episode. And again, Patreon is patreon.com/Andy. Girls, my Instagram at Dame Galley, and thanks to all of you for listening. What a journey we took this week on Salt Lake. I'm so thankful. Thankful to all of you for your patience with this episode. Thankful that I was able to deep dive it on a solo episode, because I just really felt like it deserved that kind of time just to even say this was a lot of fun. Like, sometimes we just want those episodes of Housewives, because we have on the pod big conversation. We have conversations big and small. Sometimes it's the smaller ones that are more meaningful than the sort of big, overarching, almost stuffing down our throats conversations. Like, it's okay to have a little bit of space in between all of us. And it's also okay to just be like, I watched an episode of Housewives and I thought I had a lot of fucking fun. That can be hard to come by these days, and I'm really thankful for it. I'm thankful for an episode where I had Angie K unscrolling some really fun handwriting, just getting into the nitty-gritty of absolutely nothing at all. Like, give us nothing. You go, girl. And good for all of us for getting to celebrate a wild and crazy, chaotic premiere episode. So let me know your thoughts and feels. I'd be super curious. Did it pay off for you? I mean, off the heels of last season's epic finale. I'm really, really curious. And thanks to all of you again for your patience and for listening to this episode and being such wonderful AGs. And I'm so excited to scream so loudly about Heather Dubrow on the next episode that only Labradoodles and select Greyhounds will be able to hear it. So looking forward to that on an upcoming app. And thanks again for listening. And I will chat with you soon. Another miniature episode, only 3 minutes if we start the clock 52 minutes in. All right. Thanks so much to all of you. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.